You know, I'm starting to get older, right? Starting to get some gray hair and everything, and look back at how I recall a day when we didn't really have to worry about complete annihilation from nuclear warfare. I mean, there's always been that threat in the post-World War II era, right? But I don't think we've had to really, really worry about this in the way that we do now. So if you're more than a year old, you also remember the day when we didn't have to worry about this, because we never had a president that was threatening nuclear war in the way that Trump does post-World War II. During World War II, the U.S. used nukes. After that, it became taboo. But now, all of a sudden, Trump is reintroducing this once again. Take a look at this clip on Fox News, where he's very, very clearly threatening nuclear warfare against Iran.
But again, the latest information that we have, John, U.S. strikes are ongoing against Iran, hitting the southwestern part of the country. And the president, once again, in a call with Fox News, warning the Iranian regime, if they respond to these strikes against the southwestern part of Iran, that they will be hit much harder. And again, he goes on to say, if this goes for a third time, they will be wiped out as a country. He described the Iranians as crazy and stupid. And again, the region is waiting to see if there will be an Iranian response. Already in Iranian state media, they are threatening retaliation against U.S. forces in the region.
Okay, so what's going on here? Well, long story short, because the Strait of Hormuz is not under U.S. control, despite Trump constantly saying that it's open and we're controlling it and the war has been won, despite that, we haven't won the war and we don't have control over the Strait of Hormuz. What we have been able to do is get a few of these tankers out during a or through a southern route near the coast of Oman, but not a whole lot of traffic can really go through there. And even that is something that the Iranians have been putting up a fight against. So what Trump is trying to do is get more ships to go through that. But Iran basically said, okay, what we're going to do is remine that path, that small narrow path where a few ships are getting out. As soon as he saw that they were about to remine it, Trump strikes them, breaking this ceasefire, breaking this kind of, I don't know if you can call it peace, but no kinetic warfare, that has been going on for over a month. Trump broke that, attacked one of their islands where they had these mining devices, and then of course, Iran said we have to respond because they killed civilians. They killed not only military members, but the U.S. killed more civilians. So they say we're going to strike back. Instead of killing civilians, though, we're going to target U.S. military bases, which they did in Jordan. Trump comes back and says, how dare you respond to my response? I'm going to have to respond to your response. And so right now, as we're speaking live, Trump is striking the Iranians once again, as we already knew he was going to do because he said he was going to do it. And the Iranians have come out and said, well, what we're going to do is retaliate and strike back further. So it's that tit for tat kind of thing. So you can expect more strikes on U.S. bases, most likely tonight or tomorrow. Be that as it may, Trump is getting really frustrated here because nothing that he is doing is ultimately working and getting the Strait of Hormuz open. So what is his only choice left? Well, he could leave, and that would open up the Strait of Hormuz, albeit with Iranian control. But here he would no longer be able to save face. Not that he can't save face. I mean, come on, we all know this guy's a clown, right? In his mind, though, he thinks that he can still save this and save face. He doesn't want to admit defeat, so that's not an option for him. So what's the only option left? Tactical nukes, which is what they've been discussing over in D.C., using tactical nukes against Iran. But as soon as you break that taboo and open that door in the post-World War II era, guess what Russia is going to want to do with Ukraine? And guess what Israel's probably going to feel more empowered to do against Palestinians, Lebanese, Iranians, Turkey? As soon as you open that door, others are going to say, well, hey, you know, if it's good for you, it's good enough for us. And they're going to want to introduce that into modern warfare as well. So this can certainly get out of hand. And yes, Iran is not a nuclear power, but they have allies that are. And so this could get out of hand very, very quickly. Aside from the fact that this would be targeting civilians and murdering civilians if Trump actually did use tactical nukes against Iran. He warns them on Truth Social and social media. Trump says the U.S. is, as we speak, striking Iranian targets near the Strait of Hormuz. The strikes are large and powerful, and in retaliation for the Iranians' failed attempt at adding sea mines to the strait, which currently has no mines, they have been completely removed and detonated. And the Iranians shooting 8 missiles, all successfully knocked down at our military base in Jordan. I don't think that's true. I think he's lying about that, because he's lied about the efficacy of Iranian strikes on bases in the past. This whole administration has covered that up and lied about it, but we know that they've done just devastating damage to U.S. bases overseas. So I think that that's a lie. If the failed nation of Iran retaliates for this very justified attack, notice that he thinks his attack is justified, but then when they respond, their response is not justified. If they respond to this very justified attack, they will be hit again at a much harder and higher level, but it will not be the biggest attack of them all that is waiting in the wings. And when it is over, there will be very little left of the Islamic Republic of Iran. There it is again, once again. He's suggesting nuclear warfare. Listen again. If they respond, we're going to attack, we're going to respond again, but it will not be the biggest attack of them all that is waiting in the wings, and when it's over, there will be very little of Iran left. That's nuclear warfare. But if he's going to introduce that, I mean, aside from the conversation about how insane this is, how evil this is, how many civilians would be killed, you know, if the U.S. is going to use nukes, guess what? Others are going to start using nukes too. And you don't want that. Nobody wants that. He should be immediately impeached. But he wasn't impeached the first time he did this. You remember a few months back on a Sunday? He was threatening to use nukes to wipe out an entire civilization that night. Nobody did anything. Nobody tried to stop him. Nobody has impeached him. I mean, he hasn't been impeached. Both sides, Republicans and Democrats, are going along with this. And he's done this multiple times since then. The thing is, yes, Trump talks a lot of trash. Believe me, I know that. I've documented that very thoroughly on this channel. The point, however, is I do think he is stupid enough. I don't think just crazy. I think he's dumb enough to try to use some nukes on Iran. I do think that he is that insane. And the repercussions of this are very, very significant. And therefore concerning, alarming. So I am very concerned about how this is going to pan out, especially in the immediate future with what's going on right now in this kinetic warfare. Whenever he sees that Iran responds, likely again tonight or maybe tomorrow, what's he going to do when he gets frustrated and realizes, okay, nothing is working here? He's going to feel like his only option is to use nukes at this point. And nobody in Washington is stopping him. So where is that going to bring us? I'm incredibly concerned about that. I also want to talk to you about this deal that I see a lot of people talking about right now on social media. It seems like everybody's talking about El Sayed, Hassan Piker, and J.D. Vance. You know, they're all going back and forth, right? And, of course, El Sayed and J.D. Vance have been going back and forth in the last few days, and I've been documenting some of that. But I want to actually take a look at El Sayed's response to some of this stuff from J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance was out there saying El Sayed is just pure evil. Now think about that for a second. Whatever you think about El Sayed, whether you like him or not, whether you think he's evil or not, J.D. Vance works for a president who is absolutely disgustingly evil, who is suggesting nuclear warfare, who could end up bringing us to the point of destroying humanity. But he thinks the problem is El Sayed, not his boss. And he doesn't have the balls to say that, to say something about his boss. No integrity there. Gonna just deflect, shift the blame, focus on somebody like El Sayed as if he's the ultimate problem here. Whereas in reality, his boss, he himself, and this administration hold all the cards and ultimately are the source of these problems. But not exclusively. I would say pretty much the majority of Congress at this point. But El Sayed responds to this idea that somehow he's the evil guy. Take a look.
Abdul El Sayed, and thank you, sir, for being here. First off, do you want to respond to what the vice president said today, saying that there is something that is, quote, very, very evil about you?
Well, let me tell you what's evil. Evil is the idea of starting wars when there's peace. Evil is the idea of stripping away people's health care when they absolutely have no other option. What's evil is to do that so that you can pass a tax cut for billionaires. What's evil is putting a data center that people don't want in their backyard despite them. What's evil is corrupting yourself because you want a little bit more power. And at the end of the day, this whole conversation, frankly, it's a distraction. The distraction from Michiganders are really worried about. They're worried that they can't afford their gas because of this trade war with Canada or because of this hot war with Iran that they got us into. They're worried that they can't see a doctor because they're about to lose their Medicaid. They're worried that their kid is being priced out of playing baseball. So if the vice president would like to actually get on to governing, he's welcome to do that. But to come to Michigan from Ohio, where he's from, to tell us that we ought to pay for a vanity trade war that his president is spiking with Canada, well, that's a little bit beyond the pale. And I think he can go take himself back to Ohio, where apparently they like politics like that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good response. I mean, he points out the hypocrisy here and the greater evil being committed by this administration, especially in regards to this war with Iran. And so it's just embarrassing at this point to watch this administration try to shift the blame onto anyone else and call them evil as if somehow, you know, they're not the source of evil in the world at this point. I mean, I just watched J.D. Vance on one of these podcasts. Somebody asked him about the Antichrist, and J.D. Vance is talking about how, well, you know, he kind of is afraid that maybe the Antichrist walks among us right now, but he's not too worried about it, so he doesn't give it too much thought. But it's like, dude, are you serious? Your problem right now is not the Antichrist. The problem is you and your boss in this administration. That's what you should be focusing on. Don't talk about the evil of the Antichrist when you're committing all these kinds of evils. And you're shilling for, again, your boss that is committing absolute war crimes and atrocities throughout the world. You might want to be worried about that, focused on that. And I'm pretty sure you're on Team Antichrist anyway. So I'm just saying. Now, they also got this back and forth going on with, you know, kind of trading insults when it comes to spouses or something like that. We saw J.D. Vance with very beta male energy, as El Sayed puts it. Tell El Sayed to keep his wife's name out of his mouth. And here, El Sayed responds to that comment. Take a look.
Vance being in Michigan today, focusing on the issues, what's important to Michiganders. This campaign between you and Mike Rogers has also been very personal. I mean, you were calling him, still are calling him beta repeatedly. Today he was saying that you peaked in high school and that's how you're acting. The vice president himself called you out today for what you said about his wife, Usha Vance, someone that you've now invoked a couple of times. Do you believe that spouses, political spouses, people who aren't running for office should be off limits?
Look, I'd rather not talk about spouses at all. The truth of the matter is that Donald Trump, almost as soon as I was nominated, tweeted a picture of me and my wife relative to him and his wife, trying to highlight the fact that my wife wears a hijab as if to make an argument that that's somehow less American. And they have this interesting dynamic. Donald Trump says one thing, i.e. data centers, or tweets a picture of my wife, and then J.D. Vance pretends like it would be impossible for anybody ever to do something like that. So I'd like them to actually face down their own hypocrisy. The point that I've been making about his wife is that he believes in a political philosophy that says that some people are somehow more American than others. He, in a speech about a week ago, said that he wanted to have a conversation about me with his papa, a person that I understand has long since passed, may he rest in peace. But why would you invoke your long since passed grandfather to make an argument about me if you're not trying to take us back to a time when people like me were less than normal? But then it raises the question about who else might not be normal in that kind of an America? Who else might not be included in the broad spectrum of who can be an American? I believe in an America where any of us, me, his wife, any of us with different color skin or who pray different ways can be just as American as JD and his papa. But he's not making that argument. He likes to dog whistle about these things, but when you actually call him out on it, he acts like he would never bring anything like that into our political conversation, despite he and his boss doing that every single day.
Abdul El Sayed, thank
you. Yeah, I think he's got a point there about some of the things that Vance is advocating for, and especially the crowd that he's trying to appeal to, wouldn't be very receptive. Not all of them, certainly. There might be some exceptions, but they wouldn't be very receptive about his wife. And in fact, we've seen that a lot of times on social media. I've seen that in my own personal life, some of the theological circles that I'd have discussions with and create content for, I'd see them attacking me because of my wife, right? And so I've maybe seen that before as well. So I know what El Sayed is saying. My wife is black, and so of course there's that crowd out there that is very opposed to that. And I think that what Vance is doing is he's trying to play into that crowd, but in reality that crowd doesn't fully accept Vance because of his wife. And so why are you just doing that, right? You're playing yourself. And I think El Sayed is right to kind of point that out. There's a little bit more. El Sayed now is addressing Vance, who's been pleading with people in MAGA not to leave the Republican Party, which he's been doing for quite some time now. Take a look.
Over the weekend, J.D. Vance was encouraging young people to not flee from the MAGA base.
Please don't go. We're not that bad. Is that J.D. Vance's message? We're not that bad. Please don't go.
Well, I'm sure he was doing so charismatically as he does everything. But it also speaks to the fact that there is no future in the idea that your entire message is about taking America back. If MAGA had a message for young people, we'd have seen it already, but it's not there. The idea that we're gonna have to watch as they put a data center in our backyard so that they can automate out the future of all of the jobs that people are studying to be able to get. The idea that we should have an America that doesn't guarantee health care, that doesn't guarantee child care, like those ideas, they are bankrupt ideas. And so I get it that they're going to send J.D. Vance anywhere and everywhere to try and get kids to come back because he's like the youngest person that they have. But I think it's probably not going to work. I think young people are voting with their feet, with their future in mind. They want an America where corporations don't buy off politicians. They want in America where they have the right to a union. They want an America where we're standing up to the likes of big tech that's trying to automate out their futures. They want an America that is honest about where we spend our tax dollars rather than getting us into foreign wars we have no business fighting. That's the opportunity that I think young people want, and they want to be a part of that. A lot of questions about, well, how are you going to get young people to show up and vote? Well, it starts with actually having conversations about the kind of future that they want for themselves. And that's the conversation we're going to continue to have.
I thought that was pretty funny because Vance is pretty desperate at this point to go out there, spread propaganda for MAGA and for the Republican Party, because people are leaving because they're saying, okay, this is two sides to the same coin at this point. you know, the Republican Party was supposed to offer some solutions, but ended up making some things even worse at this point. And so, yeah, it's kind of natural that people will just become at that point, you know, of the mentality that they just need to leave. And so there's one other thing that came across with Vance. This evidently is leaked audio that just came out of Vance at a Republican Jewish coalition conference and or a meeting. And this is leaked audio from it. I want you to listen to what he is saying to these Republican Jewish folks.
And I hope that everybody here knows that from the top of this administration to the vice president on down, we love you guys, we appreciate you guys, and you will very much always be on the team so long as I have any say in it. But
that's why people are leaving. That's why, right there. Because they see this constant bending over backwards to the Jewish community and the Zionist Jewish community specifically, while alienating others and, of course, robbing citizens of their tax dollars to fund Israel and their wars and their war crimes and genocide. This is why people are leaving. This is why people are absolutely fed up. They see what is going on here. And yes, some Jewish people at this point, especially here in America, are opposed to what Israel is doing. And for that, I commend them. So that's certainly not a position that all Jews maintain. But it is a prominent position that many Jews maintain. That is Zionism, Israel, and their agenda and what they're doing. And, you know, Israel makes it very, very clear that they're the only Jewish state. So they're the ones out there putting it front and center, their Jewishness, if you will. And so because of that, that's going to invite a lot of criticisms whenever the only Jewish state in the world is committing a genocide. So to go and see this kind of pandering, we're going to do anything for you, we're always going to be backing you up. It's just like, almost, it's almost also a betrayal, because wait, you're saying that to them, but what about all the people out here, the vast majority of people at this point, who are opposed to the war with Iran and opposed to Israel's genocide? Why don't you have those kinds of words for them, that you're always going to back them up and be on their side? Why is it this one little group that you have to just do everything to advocate for? It's going to create a lot of bitterness, resentment, anger, and it's going to create hostility. And again, it's also going to make a lot of people, again, leave MAGA. So that's why it sounds like they're desperate to try to get people to come back. Anyways, that's what I got. I'm going to make sure to keep you up to date on this situation with the war with Iran. Make sure to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button for updates, and let me know what you think about it in the comment section. And hey, go ahead and hype this video. Use your hype points if you haven't already on this video so you can spread it to more people. We'll see you later. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. Also, check out my second channel right here on YouTube, Reason and Theology. And by the way, if you want to support the channel, check me out at patreon.com/Reason and Theology.